life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Everybody, I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical show that's designed to help you to think outside of the box. Each week through our conversation with our spirit friends, we bring you information that will help you become more aware of the nature of your existence when my husband, Nick, will deep trance channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay. If you have something you would like to ask or add to our discussion about life, the universe and everything, basically, or maybe you're interested in what we're talking about, then it's a toll-free number in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. And also in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free. You can just ask the question and put the phone down if you like, and we'll do the answer offline for you. That's up to you. Anyway, you have to pay for that one, and it's 001-530-876-3222. So this program is general questions, and anything that you think a spirit guide would be able to help you with, to do with this world, other worlds, anything to do with the metaphysical, spiritual pathways. It's not personal readings, because this show is for everybody. So if you have a question, then it has to be a general question. And we do Akashic readings, however, that you can find out about if you want to go on to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And you can find out more about those and have a one-to-one with Gregory on the telephone anywhere in the world. And basically, that can be to do with many, many different things, all totally and utterly personal to you, a whole hour, or if that's what you want, with Gregory, and totally self-indulge yourself in asking as many questions as you like, and all of the wonderful things that you can find out about yourself and your energy and your pathway. So, anyway, thank you very much. Here's Nick.
Hi, I'm Nick Avery. Welcome to Spirit's Work. Live on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, and that is 1 p.m. EST, 6 p.m. GMT. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, maybe you might like to book an Akashic reading, as Sylvie said, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, www.spiritsworkradio.com, and now for those in Europe and the UK, www.mickavery.com. Now, Sylvie said on the show, I go into the deep trance state and bring through Gregory Hay, a spirit guide who will take over from me for the rest of the show. When I move out of my body, he moves in, which enables the pure communication between our worlds to take place. And without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and who will get the show underway. And if you want to know more detail about the trance phenomena that we practice or anything else about us, please do visit our websites and have a great time. Yeah.
Thanks, Mick.
Bye.
The aim of our shows is to share valuable knowledge that would ordinarily you possibly wouldn't have access to. We discuss sensitive and complex topics with a view that through the dissemination of information, humanity can make the necessary changes to create a more peaceful and stable world. Gregory is the spokesperson for a massive group of experts and scholars from all walks of life who call themselves the White Cloud Group. And they are an educational group who are here tonight depending what where you are on the planet, to relay knowledge that will help humanity onto a road of recovery. Well, hopefully at least perhaps gain a new perspective of life armed with truth and knowledge. They're responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. So if you have any thoughts on a show topic that you would like us to do one week, we don't always do listeners' questions, but we do actually ask for them constantly, because every now and again we have to actually go through a few shows of just listeners' questions, and that's what it's all about, the spirit world actually helping us out with things that are on our mind. So if you have a show topic, then you can email that to me at enq@spirit-teaching.com, or likewise, any questions that you would like me to use one week on your behalf. Okay, well, Gregory's here, I know. So, hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friends, love and light, little bird, cheep cheep, and hello, everyone. We are so happy and honoured to be able to be here, present and correct, with all of our bits and pieces intact.
Goody. That's great. Okay, so, well, do you want to start off with anything this week, or do we go straight into the questions?
You can begin however you wish of it.
Right? Okay, all right then. Okay, well, I do have a few here to go through, and I have one. Let's start with this one. This is from Sophia in the UK.
Yes, hello, Sophia.
If all physical life can be taken to be a reflection or a symbol of spirit life, then do the planets and sun have a type of consciousness?
Yes, absolutely they do. All sun, stars, all beings of the universe, no matter how they are formed or created, have a kind of spirit energy and empathy. That does not mean to say that all these spirits are then completely conversant or knowledgeable or understanding of the presence of all others. Because for some, for example, planetary spirit tend to be in a different location. They don't mix with those of human spirit that often. That is purely and simply because they are in a different quest, a different mindset, if you like. Not saying that they have conscious mind as in adding one and one, as in adding the other plausibles in physical human consciousness. When you are understanding about matters of other beings of the spirit world, it does not necessarily add up to the same detail of consciousness that you as a physical being presently portray. And because of the fact that you are seeing it from that point of view, means that within human identity and empathy of it, that what happens is that all human beings think of everything else as in the sum total of themselves. So therefore, it is always gauged within the human psyche and mind contemplation that the detail of one and one, that is, how to place form together to produce a result, and that may be the emergence of energy, of emotional content, so that means that the being is responding with an emotional feeling toward an event that it has empathy with, or whatever, is always in some respect, when dealt with in human terms, coming from a human point of view. So that's just simply to say, in respect of this, that the consciousness of a planet or a star is completely different. So it's not to say that in order to do that I'm then ending the question or the scenario. It's just simply that. So when you are looking at the attention or the understanding of the spirit of some other being, whatever it is, other than yourselves, human beings find difficulty in really ascertaining exactly how that transfigures with themselves and the way that they connect with their spirit or how their spirit thinks. In this respect, then, we have to be respectful of all other life. That's really our point of what we are trying to bring to the surface and to the consciousness of those of human state. That is their regard of how then their treatment or favor or disfavor toward other beings is creating such a canopy, if you like, of conscious negative reaction to events and situations that human beings create. And that is something which can then at times affect such a being as a planet,
but not all the time. So it means that when you are trying to gain empathy to the planet itself, how would you really address this? You see? It's a very important point. So it means that in this respect, what you would do is that you would bring a great deal of energy to bear. One of the greatest constants of this is like sending a prayer to the heart of the planet. When you are doing this, you're actually communicating with the planet's spirit. So in actual fact, if you were to immerse yourself in the deepest meditation that you were able without losing consciousness, and then ask for the connection of the spirit of the planet to help you in this regard, you would actually find a completely different level of communication that would then take place. And so this is in essence when you are dealing with the heart of anything, when you are dealing with your will over something else, or not in demand of it, but your will out of the love that you have for that being, object, or desire. It simply means that in order for you to make communication possible, and for you to begin to understand how planetary synergy and their spirit actually is creative and working, in a sense of ability with action, reaction, emotive stances, and all the rest of it, just like any other spirit, you will begin to understand then perhaps how the different situations are brought about. With your single emotion, it may not feel it. However, that is given on an ordinary day-to-day situation. But if you really immerse yourself in the practice, then that would become something that's different. That's part of the reason, I suppose, why it is that in the situation when you have white witches, regardless of their practice or what they feel, their connectivity with the earth is paramount, is absolutely sacred and central to their system of recovery and understanding the renewal process of the earth. Is, in a sense, understanding the earth spirit. I know that this is, in a sense, mixing a physiological standpoint, biology and all of that to do with the physical fabric of the earth, also with the spirit. But the point is that the earth spirit is actually interreactive with all of those facets that, say, for example, a group of white witches would actually bring into conveyance to its consciousness.
You've mentioned before on other programs that there are certain animals that are in communion with the spirit of Mother Earth.
Yes, that's right. Whales, dolphins, wolves, swans, in fact.
Okay, so let's say whales. How do whales have this link?
The whale situation is really created by the songs that they sing, not forgetting that much of it is out of the register of human hearing. And usually what has to happen to whale song is that it has to be changed in its velocity and its vibration index in order for the human ear to hear it. That's purely and simply because the whale itself is not just creating language of itself and singing songs and stories of the past, but actually, which is part of what it's doing, but actually what's happening is that it's also communicating in these ways with the planet itself.
Okay, and does this have, does the planet actually respond to this in some way?
Well, it's like really at this moment in time what's happening is it's a knowledge pathway.
Okay, can you explain that?
Yes, so what this means is that, for example, whales have captured a great deal of their ancient knowledge. It's something that, in actual fact, when you meet with whales on our side of life, you begin to understand their story. There are absolutely hundreds and thousands of volumes of their story and their hierarchical archetype. That means to say, to do with their spirit and where they have originated from, and the whole story surrounding the whale formation, in a sense, in terms of its spirit. So I know that if you are looking at the actual physical vehicle, you would say, well, it just came from the soup of the earth. That's true to a certain extent. But what you're also having to understand is that the whale's whole synergy with the earth is that because it's a part of the earth's vibration, and that that is something which is very, very close to it. So it means that it's like, in a sense, the whale sings songs to the earth in order to help it to recover, in order to help it to move into different cycles, in order for different situations to be created. The whale also, and these are many different forms of whale, it's not just one type. There are many different ones which actually add to the whole cycle of reverence, if you like, from all different beaks and non-beaked whales that actually have communication process in this way. So what then happens is that you have these different kinds of melodic cycles that move around and around the earth in order to, in a sense, create a tangible understanding between themselves and the earth and one another too. It's like a continual process. Now, you don't hear the earth squeaking and rumbling and all of that back to the whales, but that's simply because you don't actually hear it. And the way in which the earth spirit responds is, in essence, it's like the whales are actually creating the voice for the earth spirit. So that the way in which it interacts is not in a, it's not in a way that you would say, right, so the whales are coming up with this paragraph here, and then the whale, then the earth has responded over there, you see, or anything like that. It's rather to do with the whales are the earth's eyes to enable other facets of the earth's spirit to understand the different details of what is materializing upon the planet's surface itself. So that in actual fact, what you have is when certain species are run into oblivion and that kind of situation, what actually is happening here is that the whales, in telling their story of what they have seen and witnessed in their lives, then in a sense brings the essence of understanding to the earth. And in exactly the same way, when wolves in their singing to the stars and the heavens, in a sense, are not just doing that. They are not just calling to one another either. They're actually creating other kinds of communication, which are really, because of course they're actually originated as part of the whale species and were simply a mutation from whales in the first instance, is why it is that they have such long standing upon the earth itself. And why it is that they have a certain other kind of sacredness and always have had with many different indigenous people groups. They have readily recognized the default essence of species of wolves, for example, and how they have a fulcrum point of their energy and their entrusting, really, to the Earth's vibrational atmosphere.
Mm, absolutely. Well, that's great. Yes, another part of this question is, Zofia says, I've read about the idea that light from the sun also transmits knowledge from other areas of the cosmos, so that all creation is in some way in communication with each other.
Light travelling from the sun is light. And yes, it carries many different messages and waves. That's a bit like, also, my dear friend Sophia, is if you had looked at the passages and the many situations of cycles of information in water, you would see the same thing. That's not because the messages from the interstellar space or cosmos or whatever have only been able to become illuminated to the Earth's presence or to the surface of the Earth via the sun's energy or light. Is actually because of all stars emit light to a certain extent, and therefore also create a certain kind of energy wave frequency coming from their own domain. Some of that knowledge is readily available. Some of it actually, first of all, becomes transported and held within the water of the oceans, first of all. And that's really a part of where the whales come in, because they transmit the energy and frequency of these informations back into the Earth's vibration and also thereupon to other species as well. Because don't forget, Fen, that the whale whole situation is not just purely and simply to one another. It's also really alerting many other beings and creatures as well.
What about, basically, she says that this might explain the idea of astrology in Earth culture, actually.
Well, yes, to a certain extent, I suppose it does. And I do understand the whole matters of astrology and the stars' placement, the planetary alignment, etc., etc., of all of the different conditions whereupon they would have a valid input upon the child or the being born at that time and moment. However, I have to say, much of what is left out, really, is actually to do with the gestation period, the time at which the child first develops in the mother's womb, and what country, what place that happens to be. The difference will become evident, for example, if the female carrying the child in the womb actually moves from one country to another. And that it will have different effects. Exactly the same as if the child were listening to music or opera or poetry or whatever else. Someone playing a piano incessantly or whatever. Or traffic noises or other people talking in different languages. All of this has bearing upon the facet of energy coming into the child being itself. And how those cells operate and respond to different situations, stimuli of varying degrees from all manner of input from the universe itself, are all a facet of that person's behavior, as in a physical sense.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't think that we usually go that far, do we, when we're talking about, you know, a baby in the womb and the gestation period and
no,
how it's
quite
affected
so. Yes.
By, you know, we can obviously think of, you know, anxious moments, shouting in the family, arguments, negativity, and then other situations of actually sitting down and putting on quiet music.
Yes.
And all of the other things. But that's quite fascinating, isn't it, to know that all of those situations that you've just mentioned will actually affect.
Have a bearing.
Mm.
Absolutely so. But not only that, it doesn't stop there. The point is that the child is also responding chemically to the pheromonic activity of the mother, what it's going through, what the life is going through, and at various different situations, which is why it is, of course, that a person carrying a child it's in a very important time of that person's life. And so you have all of these different situations brought to bear within how that being as a physicalness, in its physicalness state, is then creating its passage of life. Not to mention, of course, the fact that it's been joined by its spirit at the point of inception. So that means also that you have another raft of connotations, of variants, of different situations coming from that beings, that spirit being soul group, and its place in the universe. And that is why it is that you have such strange dichotomies, strange situations developing between family groups, of why one part of the family doesn't get on with the other part of the family, or whatever, purely and simply for
sometimes many of these matters are included in this.
So it can really shape the character and personality of a child when it's born, then, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. So all of this has bearing and understanding, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So would you say that if a child, because obviously a newborn child is still affected by its soul group energy and its spirit,
yes.
Because it's literally, that is where it's just been, where it's just come from.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then gradually the other situations in life have an impact positively or negatively.
Yes, that's right.
So,
and continue to do so in wide and varying ways.
So the judging on the gestation period and the sort of life that it had in the womb, shall we say,
yes.
Will that have an effect on how the child is personality-wise, of its disposition, whether it's a happy baby, sad baby, anxious baby, nervy baby,
yes,
relaxed, whatever.
Yes, oh, oftentimes it will be to do with that, but it will also, I have to say, be to do with as well the chemical balance of its makeup and how it is responding as a biological being.
Yeah.
To the formation of various chemical agents and variances within its makeup. So it's a whole mass of different situations that then create the possibility of, for example, why it suddenly becomes that a child goes through these horrendous periods when it actually doesn't like anyone else. It's the child is not just fractious, but downright angry and immobile, in a sense, in respect of being able to communicate with it. And sometimes this child will go on being like that all the way through its adult life. At other times, it will suddenly emerge after 2 or 3 years or whatever, a completely different person. Maybe it might take them until 5 or 6.
Yeah. So giving a newborn baby healing has to be a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Not just healing, I have to say. All newborn infants should really have a certain amount of homeopathic treatment as well, really to do with cranial osteopathy or something like that, particularly to bring back together and make sure that the various plates of the physical skull are in perfect alignment, to do with as well alignment of the spinal cord, alignment of the spine itself, leg formation, in exactly the same way, my dear friend, that if you had a horse that was and a foal that was born that you would actually have
a chiropractor,
a saddlery,
chiropractic, equine chiropractor, or a farrier, remedial work or something.
Yes, absolutely so. Because the first thing they'll do is actually alter its feet.
Yeah, to correct its posture and spine.
Yes,
absolutely.
And everything.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I'm understanding what you're saying, but it would have to be obviously for the child. It would have to be a qualified.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes, I wouldn't suggest anything else. But I'm saying, though, that in that respect, you see, that's actually one of the real specialist parts of that kind of cranial sacral work. That is why it is so highly skilled, because they're working on such small children and infants in such a way as to create the right kinds of energy paths for these children when they're born.
So a very highly recommended cranial osteopath, then, who actually specialises in this sort of thing,
would
be the person to approach about that.
Yes.
Okay. So right, well, that's we've covered a lot of different areas there, haven't we? There was a few things that came up in that I just jotted down actually.
Yes.
To do with the situation about the planet, because you were saying about those vast volumes in the spirit world to do with whales and the planet and their sort of importance in this area.
Yes.
So what other planets are spoken of in the Halls of Learning as being, you know, sort of a wonderful place with volumes written about them as well? Many? to do with the wonder and learning of beings, basically, spirit beings, whoever and whatever they are.
Yes, there are some. It depends. You have to understand that the halls of learning are so vast, and it can actually take literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years in terms of Earth understanding to go through them, to even begin to scratch their surface. This is something which is ongoing to the delight of hundreds of billions of beings, constantly. And in essence, sometimes what we have to do is to ask of the whales, for example, if it's specifically about one species, then we would ask that species to help us understand more about their nature. Now, in order for this to take place, we, even as a pure spirit being, would have to still give of this ultimate love, in essence, to enable it to happen, to enable beings such as these to then feel safe enough, even in the spirit world, to be able to share this important information. I suppose that is because so often different beings have been used in a sense of food or in a sense of usage in history for various matters. And there are many different energies around this whole governing species which are very reticent about offering guidance or actually, yes, that they want to when they meet a being from some other soul tree or whatever, which is displaying the right kind of conditions and love connection to enable that to happen, you see? So you have to really understand that in order to bring that about, that's what you need to bring into the flavor of it.
Yeah, so, but basically, I think my point was that if you've had a life, if you've had a physical life on another world, you know, and then you had a physical life on this world,
yes,
there would be other halls of learning. There would be halls of learning, parts of the halls of learning, shall we say, where you could learn about those specific situations. And I just wondered, which at what point does somebody say that I'm going to concentrate on helping this world? Is it because it was the last journey that they had a physical life on, for instance?
Yes, oftentimes that is the way, until they gradually disassociate themselves with that and turn to other matters of the universe and other matters of universal thinking. Does not necessarily mean to say that all beings now presently communicating with others on the earth plane or whatever, that it means that they're lesser or that this is somehow derogatory in the energy pattern to the rest of the universe. Like somehow the rest of the universe has always got to be higher or better than where you are now. Because in actual fact, just for every being on the physical side of life, looking at their beautiful pure spirit would tell them exactly just how beautiful they are and what a glorious part of the universe they are representing. That then would maybe change their ultimate behavior and the way of thought and the way of creating energy toward others.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I do have some more questions from Sophia, but I think we'll move on to somebody else for now. It's the Sophia show. Okay, here we go then. Because this is a following on from, really, from what we were talking about, and it's from Joanne in the UK. There's a few questions, but this one is, I would like to know how I could meet Gregory on my return home. Am I correct that all I would need to do would be reminded during my review of life, but can I be certain? After listening to his wise words for many, many hours, he is the one being that fascinates me above all others and would dearly love to meet him when my time ceases here.
Oh, well, my dear friend, of course, Yes, I would be pleasured and honored to be able to do so. And there is no way that I would miss it. Particularly for the help and the understanding that you have gained and shared yourself with those hundreds and thousands and millions of beings on our side of life. You don't think that that is you, but it is. Simply because when you ask a question, it is sometimes the very question that resonates on many lips, in many minds, in many hallowed halls. So it is, my dear friend, as little as you think of the question, that you would perceive, perhaps, that it is just a simple, lowly question, means everything to all of us within the group, simply because, in essence, when we try to answer a question, we look at so many different avenues of what is possible. Oftentimes, you may think that in order to answer a question, we seem to be very complex and complicated, and it's not meant to be that way. But just simply that coming from the many different positions that we see, the variable, the way forward, could be justified in so many different ways, in so many different conditions that are held there at that moment, which mean that a different outcome is available. And would I meet with you? Yes, of course I would.
Yeah, I think it might be good to go on from there to how you would meet, you know, for people when we do pass, then it's just a thought process.
It is.
To link ourselves up with
yes.
our loved ones and
yes.
our pets and
yes.
et cetera. You don't have to be reminded during your review.
No, absolutely not.
Because when you get to the other side, Joanne, you will be exactly the same as you are now, as in your consciousness, in your memory and your mind,
yes.
even if you pass with some sort of dementia, you know.
Yes, I mean, and you'd lost your marbles,
yes.
dear friend.
So don't think that you're going to have to be taught how to use your consciousness. You might actually just have to be chaperoned a little bit and just jogged here
just
and there.
Just to begin with,
yeah.
yes, just to get it. Just to understand how to, once again, hang your clothes out to dry, you see? It's a bit like that, really. You have to understand that your consciousness, when you come to our side of life, is outside of you, not on the inside. You see? Because that's the coat that you're wearing. So, in a sense, your spirit is still the beautiful being within, is still there, and in fact, is completely accessible to you through your consciousness. So that means to say your beautiful spirit is there and every facet of it is there. So that when you wish or when you access or create a desire for function, for some situation to develop, provided it is with the best will and mind, the best intention, the best emotion, the best whatever it is that you will of it to direct energy, what is actually happening then is that you are connecting purposefully, unifyingly with your spirit. So even if, when in physical life, you had lost your marbles, lost your way physically, mentally, what would actually happen before you passed in that event, in that scenario, would be that you would have visited our side of life periodically. At the time when you'd lost your marbles and your memory and you lost your way in a sense, in the physical sense, you would be on our side of life, having a completely different experience. Just in a sense as a foretaste of your journey. Now, not all beings who then suffer from dementia remember these episodes, these episodal events, away from the physical earth. Sometimes what can happen is that human beings get very distressed over these great big holes that they see like a piece of bored cheese.
these great big holes that they see in their life that they can't get back, they can't grasp back. And that is simply because they are becoming worried, negative, and see it as a great negativity that is happening to them. The problem with many people who suffer from this is simply that they don't have the facet of understanding that these are simply when they are creating, when the holes develop in the physical consciousness because of the registry of the synapse of the brain, it's simply that you are losing the passages in the conscious physical state, but not of your spirit. And so it means that oftentimes when these events take place, you are actually on our side of life. So try to see it that way, if you like. If you can, then it will help you to understand more perhaps about the journey of the consciousness and what really happens to you as a physical being when you pass. For it's just simply a mass exodus, if you like, that when your etheric bead becomes unhooked from your solar plexus, all of your conscious memory will be there with it, will be hanging on the end of your etheric bead and becomes part of, and is always part of your spirit after all. It's never left. Nothing's ever left or wasted, you see. That's what you have to understand. And when you actually come to the life review itself, this, in a sense, is really more like paraphrasing your life. It's like taking different situations, events and materials and what you thought, how you felt, the chemical reactions that happened to you as a physical being vis-a-vis your emotional state, diametrically opposed sometimes to do with your spiritual ease or maybe to do with dis-ease that was enveloping your physical consciousness. So that all of these things have various infrastructures which are then paramount in the life review and that make themselves known so that you understand much more about why you felt this way when this thing happened. You see, the floods of embarrassment or whatever in your learning skills or lack of thereof or whatever, the embarrassing events that happened or even the funny events that happened are also part and parcel of your life review. So it's not just about negative things, it's about every aspect of your life. And the life review, in fact, doesn't, it's just not something that's instant and then it's gone and forgotten. It can happen over years and years that you can be in your life review in respect of earth terms. I'm saying that purely and simply because, of course, in the spirit world, there is no time. It doesn't exist. It's like a quantum state of time where we move into time when we want to and move out of it when we want to. It's not like the linear time field that you have in the present domain. But when you are using your life review or viewing it, going through it in whatever way or altercation they may have with it, it's in real time. So that, and sometimes you can slow it down so that you really understand what happened, what motivated this situation, that situation, and all of the other people that had influence.
And of course, your doorkeeper is there to help you with things that you didn't realize maybe or had forgotten about.
That's right. It's there just to remind you, to help you in a very loving way, not a prod with a stick and a carrot, you see?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I hope this has made it more clear.
Yeah, I'm sure that that helped. Okay, here's a question that is appropriate at this time as well. Zofia again. It's just that it follows on nicely.
Yes.
Okay, could you find a way to explain what angels are? Are they higher dimensional versions of ourselves? Or are they independent multi-dimensional beings? Are they part of a soul group which ever incarnates on Earth? I've read about a lovely idea that the spirits which call are called angels form groups in which the sense of self is very fluid and shared, which not all soul groups do.
Interesting.
Mm. There's a few. You can take this in
bite-sized pieces.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do that.
So, are they are angels higher dimensional versions of ourselves, or are they independent, multi-dimensional beings?
Sometimes it will be that if in your journey you have ellipses of the mind, or that you have interpretations of your events in your life that are not rung true, or that you are escaping the reason of why you are there, or that you are having difficulty understanding your self energy or whatever is taking place with yourself in development, in ways of understanding the truthfulness of your commitment and contact with the universe, or sometimes to do with how you actually validate yourself, and how some beings find it quite difficult to do that. What can happen, and I still have to say, this is very rare, so don't all jump on the phone at once and say, oh, I've had that. It's actually very rare. So, and what can happen is that a facet of your beautiful, pure and divine spirit, don't forget, this is everyone, without exception. All of you have a beautiful, pure and divine spirit that's like an angel. And for some, what happens is their angel themselves comes to visit with them, so that the person themselves in a physical sense has a different, gains a different ideal, gains a different understanding, perception of themselves, their own energy. This will oftentimes be initiated by the soul group from whence you have come. Usually simply by your own action or inaction or distrust of yourself or some other such situation. That doesn't mean to say it's a negative, just because you've seen your angel or the being that is you. It's always a very big situation that happens, and something that leaves you breathless and oftentimes very tearful.
Because of the intense love.
Because of the intense love, yes. Mm. That's actually how you should feel in the mirror, my friends, every morning. Mm. The intense love of self. That's not something of ego. That is something of purity.
Hmm. Yes, but very pure vibrational beings that sometimes are with us to help us. We call angels, but the word angels or angel is a man-made, shall we say, earthly word.
Yes, comes from religious autocracy. So let's dispense with that in a sense. What you have encountered in that respect are, as I say, either it is to do with your own beautiful spirit,
or
it is a situation where someone else from your soul group or someone else from elsewhere in the universe has come to pay you a visit, and the only way that you are going to accept them is not if they materialize like an old man in a situation which you would then feel decaying, or that you would then feel as though it was lesser, like seeing a blind man or some other such situation, you see. There are many connotations of the mind whereby the flavor of it means that the human perception begins that it takes in the order of things. Oh, well, this is a being in rags, that's therefore I would not listen to them. So therefore they present themselves as an angel in an angelic form, because it's something that human state has been taught to look to.
And the connotations is that they are a pure, loving, vibrational being,
which
Yeah, absolutely. So they probably are. So that's absolutely fine. And so really we call angels loving vibrational beings of whatever. But yes. It's not a specific soul group.
No, it isn't, because they're actually all beings are, in a sense, this way.
Have the potential.
Have the potential.
Basically, they haven't got the negativity still.
Yes, so they haven't had earth life.
Yeah.
So you are looking at pure spirit, which in a sense, depending on what religion you look at, will either fly in the face of or be simplified in a different way. There are many different connotations of why it is that one religion or another wants you to stay away from everything that is not the governance of their religion.
The other part of this question, though, is that they do actually join together, though, sometimes, don't they? And become very fluid and have a shared experience.
Yes, so, absolutely so.
So like Gregory was saying, there are many connotations on all of these questions, really.
Yes,
so,
absolutely, absolutely. It's almost bottomless, in a sense.
Mm. And then there's the shining ones, who are different again.
Yes, the shining ones are different again. Oftentimes they would have had some kind of physical life, not necessarily of the earth. The shining ones are of, in a sense, they're not of a place of hierarchical state. That's always something that human beings are going to attach to anything. It's like finding the best cut of meat or finding the best cabbage or something like that. You are actually looking for divine purpose. When you meet with, well, you wouldn't meet with a shining one. You wouldn't even come within 1,000 miles of a shining one. Because their energy is so different to that of human consciousness that just the thought of a shining one in your direction would normally could tend to be quite destructive. That's not that they're meaning to be, but that their energy vibration is so totally different that it could be then that even that a merest thought of you from a shining one would be very difficult for you as a physical being to contain and would most probably end up in a funny farm and be quite delirious and quite... sometimes I understand some beings in physical state have occasionally, very, very occasionally in the early days, had not direct meetings with shining ones, because as I say, it just simply wouldn't be possible, but that have had thoughts directed at them and have had the most bizarre and difficult circumstances, so that it has become understood and accepted by the universe as a whole that in these kinds of matters, when we're dealing with matters of the spirit world and the physical reality, the shining ones would always have to interact with beings of the spirit world and of the universe, other beings that were non-physical. And even then, with beings that are with all other beings that are non-physical, it's actually very difficult for shining ones themselves. In a sense, it's like they live in a world of glass. And they actually help to create different facets of the universe in which you have experience. And that depends on many different dimensions and many different fields of understanding, of which it's very, very difficult to relate to in a physical sense.
Mm. Yeah. But basically, the angelic beings that we were talking about, we'll call them angelic beings.
Yes.
Rather than angels. The part of the question is, are they part of a soul group which ever incarnates on Earth? Are they usually from specific soul groups?
No, they can be from anywhere, really. And sometimes it may be that it is a being who may have had a physical life and may have decided that they've got to communicate with someone
on the earth plane or someone in some other plane for various different needed reasons.
You see? Yeah.
There are many different reasons as to why that would be. Sometimes it would simply be someone from our side of life trying to communicate with someone from your side of life because they're not listening. So the only way they're going to listen is by adopting an angelic form.
Or having an angelic form present themselves in such a way that it opens the eyes and perks the ears.
Yes, absolutely.
Of the earth person, shall we say.
Yes,
fellow traveller.
Yes.
And then they can get on their path. I mean, that's happened to quite a few people that we know.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Absolutely so. And they are absolutely entrusted states. The identity of those beings, however, tends to be somewhat waffled and somewhat immature in a sense.
Well, the thing is, we then can tend to read too much into the actual message coming from this being rather than it just being a wake-up call. I think that's the problem a lot of the time.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, it happened to me many years ago and basically just sort of like got me back on the pathway again when I'd fallen off my spiritual path.
Yes.
So I think that's the problem. I think we have these experiences and then our brains go into overdrive and confuse it.
Yes, quite so.
Whereas if we were just kept ourselves in the state of oneness and acceptance and being, then we would be available then for more information to come. But then we try to start making it fit into a box.
And that's when the trouble starts.
Absolutely. Okay, yes, well, that's so. Been fascinating once again, Gregory. Thank you very much.
Oh, is that it?
It is. Didn't it go by fast?
Very well. Yes. I understand. I'll have to put our clocks right. Yes. So very well, then, friends. Love and light, blessings as ever, dear friends, one and all. God be with you in whatever you do. Whatever your thoughts that you emit, make them of love. God bless.
God bless. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Do visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out lots of information about us, maybe have a reading with Gregory, or whatever you would like to do. Do get in touch and tell me your thoughts about questions or show topics, if you've got any. And, thank you very much for listening. And I'm Sylvie Avery. This has been Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.